Well, the Lord keeps bringing me back time and time again to the 14th chapter of Acts. And this morning when he brought me back to the 14th chapter of Acts, I said, Lord, what do I keep missing? You know, well, I haven't really missed anything. There's just more, you know, and there is. There's always more. But today when I read about the disciples coming back, and when they all got together in verse 27, and they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. That he'd opened the door of faith. And as Ken just said, you know, Jesus can knock the door. If we don't let him in, he'll just stand there knocking. The same is true of when the door of faith is open. It's open, but we got to go through it. We have to step in, and we know, if just from this one chapter in Acts, that the door was open, but not everybody stepped into faith, did they? Some were still, I mean, it was a flip-flop. It was like one minute they were going to worship him, the next minute they stoned him. One minute many believed, and then all of a sudden they were deceived, and they were divided about what they were going to do, and still when they came back, they were excited about all that God had done and about the door being open. Do you notice something there? They weren't focused on what didn't go right. They were focused on what God did. The door of faith was an amazing thing. You know that the Jews didn't like the idea of anybody having anything without them when they were proselyting people to become Jews before Jesus came. You know, I mean, people saw that God was blessing the Israelites. He saw that they were blessed. And so then people would want to join them. And they made a way even then. God made a way for them even then for people to be joined to them and be blessed by being near them. And even then, the rules and the regulations and the things that were put on them were, those who were proselyted had a lot more rules than those who were in. Because they wanted to make them pay. You know, you've got to pay. We're in, but you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do this. And, you know, and I mean, people just became discouraged. And that's why when Jesus came and he made a way, and actually Jesus opened the door of faith long before Paul did, long before Peter did. Jesus opened it up. He stood on a hillside and said, all of you who thirst, come unto me and drink. He opened it up to everybody long, long before they did. He said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He told them in advance that the day would come when those who were not children would be children. I mean, he opened the door to it, and no doubt there were people who were seekers who were saved long before Peter or Paul or anybody said they could be, because they joined because of faith. And when I looked at this, I thought, you know, they said the door of faith had been opened to the Gentiles, and I think it was as much a thing of the door to understanding for them to actually believe the door was open to the Gentiles as it was that the door was open to the Gentiles. He was saying to them, listen, the door is open for the Gentiles to come in. It says, then they spent a long time with them. Maybe they had to spend a long time with them again, explaining to them, listen, this is the way Jesus wants it. He made it this way. He went to the cross for this purpose. They can come in. The door's open. Don't go trying to shut it. It's open. Today, I received an email from a guy, and he had actually received it from somebody else. But this person had just gone over the edge because he read a devotion by a well-known teacher, ministry, that this man indicated that you could be saved simply by calling upon the name of Jesus. And this guy was just over the edge about the fact that he's suggesting that all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus. I was taught you have to repent, you have to be baptized, and then you can have this. You know, it was like, and it wasn't like he didn't say you don't need anything else. He was just saying all people have to do is step through the door of faith. It's inside that door of faith that a lot of other things take place. But you know, there's a lot of times, just like the Jews who said it can't be this way and it can't be that way and it can't be this way, there's so much of the time even today where people who have adopted a little pet doctrine, their own little idea that says this is the only way, and they just can't stand the idea of anybody suggesting that the Bible would be true without their part of it. But Jesus said, if whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's other things that will follow that. When they come through that door of faith, you come through the faith. You know, it's just like if you go to a car wash and you punch in the code and the lights are on in there and it says drive in and you don't drive in, you're never going to get washed. You're never going to get the underscrub. You're never going to get the extra rinse. You're never going to get the spot-free rinse. You're never going to get the three colored suds. You're just going to sit there with that open door. And some sit at that open door and somehow think that because they have done the three things that they think are the right things, they automatically have the undercarriage washed. They automatically have been soaped. They've automatically that. And so they sit there, and basically, it's like Jesus said, he didn't call them friendly things. He said, not only will you not enter, but you discourage people who want to. We have to be cautious not to miss that open door. I think a picture I got as I thought about this is just the a whole bunch of people who come to an understanding of what faith is and then just hang around at the door. Maybe step inside, but don't keep moving. Have you ever been in the line where people just didn't keep moving? Where they stood right at the door? And, you know, I mean, I've been to things sometimes like down at the auditorium, they'll have something where the door is open and people are in line for free food or something, you know. And it's winter time and the wind is blowing and it's cold out. And there's room, you know, that people could go in and fill up the lobby. But God forbid that you would go in and lose your spot in line, you know. What would be wrong with just going in and getting whatever's in? No. Got to stand in that single file line. And you're behind them thinking, why don't we just go in? Well, I wonder how many times, you know, we recognize that open door of faith and somebody knows that we recognize the open door of faith and they're waiting to see if we go in and what we find. And if we're all the time standing around the door, still trying to qualify to step over the threshold when we already have the ticket to go all the way in, well, I guess there isn't anything to go any further for, so why should I even go that far? Basically, you know, we had that experience with friends of ours who were at our house wearing born-again buttons, and they were partying with us, and I said, what's the born again button? They said, oh, we went to a church, man. Got born again. I said, what is that? I said, well, we got a relationship. Well, I don't even know what word they used. Maybe. Anyway, they'd found Jesus, you know, and this was after the hippie movement, but they were right in there with the hippies, you know. And I said, well, if you did that, isn't something supposed to change? You know, you're still doing the same things I do, and I think the things I do probably aren't acceptable. Oh, no, man, all you had to do was just go up there. Well, they just went up there, but they just hung around the door. They didn't go in to have the Lord do anything else in their lives. And so there's a door that is open, and it's wide open. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, I'm the door. Everybody that comes through me can enter the kingdom of God. Anybody that does not come through me can't get to the kingdom of God. So this door of faith is the doorway, the entrance to the kingdom of God. The entrance to the place where no matter what is going on around us, we know God is for us. We know Jesus loves us. We know that we've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. We know, and we are confident of those truths. We don't sit around and wonder if God answers prayers. We know He answers prayers. We expect Him to answer prayers. We expect Him to do what He says that He will do, not in an arrogant way, but just simply, how can we not expect Him to? How can we suggest to anyone that God is fickle or schizophrenic or, you know, on again, off again? How could we even present Him as that? Well, we can present Him as that if we haven't stepped in to that walk of faith. If we haven't walked in and experienced that, you see, again, they came back and they told them all that God had done. They were excited about what God had done. Now, a lot of people stand, you know, maybe on the threshold of the door of faith, and they say, well, God hasn't done anything for me. Well, the very fact that you're standing on the threshold of it says that He has, because it says that you almost believe that He died for you, and that He's forgiven you for your sins. And that they go to the sea of forgetfulness. So that when we say, I'm so sorry for something, He says, I forgot that. Why don't you forget it too? Yes, sir.
It's like we have a tendency to want to have Christ climb back upon the cross and die again for us.
Yeah.
He's already done that.
Yeah, exactly. Prove yourself, Jesus. You know, prove it to me again. And yet the Bible says He died once for all. It's a done deal. And so there's a door of faith. That door of faith had been opened to the Gentiles. They can have everything that we can have. Let's go get everything that God has promised, so there's something for them to follow. I was reading also this week where Jesus, I think it's in John. I actually had the opportunity this week. I literally blew through the Bible in an hour and about 10 minutes because I spilled coffee on it, and so I had the hairdryer blowing each page and drying it out. I blew through the Bible. So while I, you know, but you know what amazed me? People, there's speed readers that could actually read it while they're doing that. Well, me, I was busy blowing and I was looking, I was picking out, I was seeing little scriptures. I was seeing things, and I'd read a scripture. I'd say, oh yeah, I remember that. And I would be able to, while I was blowing the next page, I was thinking about that. And then I'd read another one. And so I blew through the Bible. So anyway, but I was reading about where Jesus was talking to the people, the thousands that He fed. And He said, when He started that chapter, it said that the people followed Him for the miracles He had done. This is in John chapter 5, actually. Starts out saying that the people had followed Him because of the miracles. But then Jesus tells them an interesting thing later. Maybe I'm not in the right chapter. Anyway, Jesus then says, after He feeds 5,000, He said, you're following me because I fed you. And that was where He told them, don't focus on things that perish. Focus on things that are eternal. And what had happened there was, yes, the signs and wonders were good, but the free meal was really something. And Jesus knew what was in their heart. Wow, we just follow Him around and He'll feed us. Jesus said, don't worry, feeding you is not a problem. 5 loaves turned into 12 baskets full. Now, I don't know how much of a basket 5 loaves fill, but there were 12 baskets full left over at the end. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying, listen, it is no problem for me to take care of those things that perish. That's not a problem. I've got to get you locked into the things that don't. Because it's in trusting and believing in the things that don't perish that all of the perishable things can just be provided. When your trust for me and in my word exceeds your love of money or food or clothing or whatever else, now we're getting somewhere. That's a door of faith that is open to us. You see, when we read the word, doors open. Doors continue to open. The doors just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into the kingdom of God. Each time that revelation comes, we have an opportunity to stand or to go through. And every time that we go through, we make a way for someone else to follow us. But if we block the door, then someone who was following us stops right where we do. Yeah. Or they have to shove us out of the way and go past us.
What's interesting is that the Druze, through their laws, built on the laws, require baptism. Acts 10:43, says all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now he's talking to the Jews and the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where we get the Holy Spirit comes on the audience before they're baptized.
Mm-hmm.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised, which is the Jews, believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speak in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have, past tense,
mm-hmm.
received the Holy Spirit just as we have.
Mm-hmm. You know, actually, nobody can come to the Father except by the Spirit.
Exactly.
So the Holy Spirit comes upon people and gives them revelation and does things in different ways, doors open. And the problem is, yes, there's only one way. Jesus said he was the only way, and the Spirit always brings people through Jesus, but he doesn't necessarily bring everybody the same way, that we go through the door. The door that Vicki and I came through into the kingdom of God was alarming to some people. Because, well, that isn't a door that should lead there. But they didn't tell God that. And so, because they didn't tell God that, God felt that it was okay to do it that way, whether they liked it or not. It worked, and it continues to work. The doors that God opens continue to work. They continue to go. And so, the door was open to the Gentiles, because God opened it. Because it was opened, and it was like, to me, I can see Paul saying, listen, you know, we've been through this. Peter explained it to you. Now, I'm telling you that God said I was to go to the Gentiles. We better believe that this door is open to them. Or, I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go through doors, and they're going to make us jealous. And we don't go through it to make anybody jealous, but we go through it because if God opens the way, we go in so that others might follow us. Not stop and block the way, but continue on growing in the grace, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament it said, "Behold, I set before you an open door, I open a door for you that no man can shut." Now, the Lord opens the door, and when God opens the door for you, it's a door that nobody can shut but you. But we shouldn't ever stop. We should continue on. The Bible tells us to continue in the faith. The Bible wouldn't tell us to continue in the faith if there wasn't a continuation. If there was a go through the door and all of a sudden it was just a real crowded place where everybody stood around and waited to go to heaven, that would be a mess. But that wasn't what Jesus did, was it? Jesus just kept going. And everywhere he went, more of the kingdom of God was revealed. And more was revealed. And more was revealed. And more was revealed. And ultimately, not only did he raise others from the dead, but he himself was raised from the dead. And he was the ultimate victory, even over death. But he had to walk through doors the same way. He walked through a door to the cross that he could have prayed for that to not happen. He could have said no. He could have, because he told the disciples, he said, "Hey, don't you know I could call upon my Father and there would be so many angels here to put this thing to an end?" But he said, "How would what has to happen happen if I prayed for it not to happen?" In other words, he could have prayed and it wouldn't have happened, but he chose not to pray so that it did happen. He revealed a tremendous power of prayer there. And the ultimate result of that was that he walked through a door and sat down at the right hand of the Father. For the joy that was set before him, he endured even the cross, the shame of the cross. The shame of the cross was worse for him than the pain of the cross. Hard to imagine. But you see, he wasn't ruled by his flesh. I think that most people, when we consider the cross, we cringe at the stripes, we cringe at being nailed to it, we cringe at that death. But we forget to cringe at the shame that he suffered on that cross and how he bore our sins. And when you think about it, how have you felt about your sins? Now imagine he who knew no sin feeling the burden of all of our sins. Feeling, being so aware that God couldn't look on him that way. That's a tremendous price. But it was a door that he had to walk through. It was a door of faith. It was a door because he had to believe that what the Father said would happen, would happen. If it didn't, it was all for naught. And the same thing is presented to us. There's a door of faith that's presented to us that says, "Listen, I know that what I've said, I know that what I've promised, I know that what is written is true. I know that I never lie. I know that I never fail. I know that there's no need to ever doubt me. I know that there's no need to ever fear. There's no need to ever have any confusion. I know all of these things, but the only way you will know them is if you walk through that door of faith. The only way that you will experience them is if you walk through that door." And God promises us all you got to do is walk through. And just keep walking and just keep trusting. You know, it's like the thing of following a voice in the dark. Just follow my voice. Just keep coming. Follow my voice. Follow my voice. Follow my voice. Follow my voice. And you get to the one whose voice you're following. And the Lord has opened a door for us, saying, just follow my voice. Follow my word. Follow what I'm saying. A door has been opened. A door of great opportunity has been opened to each and every one of us. Now we can sit sometimes and we can look and we can say, well, why in the world? You know, I've prayed for this person and they just won't come to the Lord. I've asked for this and that and nothing. You know, we want to get frustrated with them. We know that Paul got frustrated with his own people. He said, man, I'd walk back out the door. I'd give up my salvation if it had saved him. But ultimately that wouldn't work. He said, I tell you, I got a better deal. I give up on you. I'm going to the Gentiles. My blood. Your blood is not on my hands. I'm done with you. And we can see where other people are standing outside of another door, but we may not recognize that we ourselves are hung up at a door that the Lord has opened for us that we just won't go through. Because we're thinking, well, this hasn't worked right, or that hasn't worked right, or this or that or another thing. And so we're standing at a door that God's all got open for us, saying, would you just come through? And we're expecting everything that's on the inside of that door to happen to convince us before we go in that door. And that just isn't how it works. You call upon the Lord, and you're saved. And that's how that works. Some people say, well, I don't have to do it that way. The Lord knows my heart. Well, yes, He does, but He says you should do it that way. Now, I don't care what prayer you pray, I don't care where you pray it, but unless you say, God, I need you in some manner or form, and I don't know what translation God expects, but the fervent prayer of a righteous man, so just maybe the right groan, I don't know. But the thing is, unless we submit ourselves to God's rule in it, it just isn't going to work. That's just the way it is. That's the way we go through that door. And once we've gone through that door, the kingdom of God is open to us. But if we don't believe that, we can stand inside the door and never experience anything of the kingdom of God except heaven. Which is fine. It's good. But you know what? Most people who don't experience anything except heaven spend most of their time complaining that they're not there yet, or complaining about the way God has done things, or, you know, I mean that, well, I prayed and God didn't do anything. Well, did you pray believing? I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't decide that. But the fact of the matter is that people who do not enter into the kingdom of God, who are only looking for the kingdom of heaven, probably have a more miserable life on earth than those who don't even care about the kingdom of heaven. Eternity, that's another story. But if you don't experience the things that God has, then what are you? You're frustrated. If you buy a brand new car and your brand new car won't start, how excited are you to have a brand new car that won't start? Everybody else starts, why won't mine start? They won't honor the warranty. So here I got this brand new car, I got the key in the ignition and it just won't start. Did you try reading the manual? Maybe there's something new to it. Maybe you need to step on the brake. Maybe you need to put your foot on the clutch, whatever it is you're driving. You know, I mean, the thing is that people don't experience the things of the kingdom of God sometimes because they don't go through the door. And sometimes they don't go through the door because nobody else has gone through the door before them that they know, that has come to them and told them, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. If we want to get past a whole lot of things. Maybe everything. The key to that is look at God and look at what God is doing. Don't focus on the things that you think God isn't doing, because God's doing something, isn't He? And so we just keep our eyes on Him. We keep our eyes on the door that's open to us. And don't let anything keep us from going to that door or from searching for the next door. Don't let anything discourage or keep you from continuing in the faith. There was a whole lot of stuff that Paul could have talked about, but it says he was there telling them about the things that God had done and how the door was open for the Gentiles. Door's open, they can come on in. Every door. The kingdom of God is open for everybody. And the enemy says, like old Megatron, tells the little Billy, you know, he lies to him. And the enemy lies to you. And the enemy tries to get you to consider what God can do by what you see that God has done so far, without bothering to look and see how far He has brought us. And He's always bringing us, as long as we're yielded, He's always bringing us to another place, to another place, to another place. And so many times, I think that people are right on the precipice of greatness. And they give up because they don't see what God has already done. Not greatness in a way that, oh boy, we can be arrogant about being great. But I mean the great things that they've been waiting for, but we don't notice all that God's been doing as He's bringing us along. And we're not willing to leave the things to Him, forget what's behind, leave the things to Him that we can't see or can't figure out how to take care of, which we really can't figure out much of anything. Can't just leave them with Him and trust Him and enter that door of faith. Enter that place that says, okay, I'm leaving what's behind, and I'm reaching for what's ahead, because I know that God has good plans for me. Plans for good and not for evil. See, there's a door of faith that just keeps opening and opening and opening and opening and opening and opening. And we have the opportunity to continue in the faith. So that's a little bit of what I think about the door of faith.
So how do I know if I'm in it? How do I know if I'm both in it? I mean, you know, when you're taking your car inside of a car wash, you can see it's happening. So spiritually, it gets kind of confusing. Then, you know, and then I think, okay, faith. What is faith? Substance of things not seen, the evidence. What is it? What is out of the evidence of things not seen?
Substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen.
So that's